Sabbath blessings, everyone. If you can kneel, I think maybe we should pray. Bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with a Sabbath day, a beautiful day, in fact. And thank you for keeping us all safe as we slept. And for those that are on the other side of the world, bless them with good sleep tonight, too, as they're sleeping now. Thank you for blessing everyone that's in attendance, everyone that's on our prayer list. And thank you for blessing us with the changing of the showbread today. We also pray, Father, if it be your will, seeing how we are all in one accord, that you bless us with the latter rain, as you blessed the apostles with the early rain many years ago. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins, the cleansing from all unrighteousness, and all that we need to do this work. Please bless the seeds that we have planted as well as the seeds that have been planted in us with much water, much rain from heaven, so that we can go forth to glorify you like no other. And thank you for the hedge of angels you have around all those that are in need of the truth, of salvation, or of a better walk. Thank you for blessing us, Father, and for being our Father who loved us first. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, who's our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Yeah, the windmills ain't moving again. I'm looking out the window now, and there's one of them that's got like both arms straight up in the air, kind of. The sunlight's reflecting on them, and it's like, it looks like a giant letter Y. Why isn't there any wind? It's been kind of strange the last few weeks. We haven't even had any, we had that one violent storm a couple of months ago, but I can see nothing yet. Usually we have 10 or 15 storms by now. We've had one, maybe two, in all this time. So anyway, that's a blessing in itself, too. Blessings to you too, brother. Okay. Oh, and keep everyone in prayer. That's, there's like 23, I just checked this yesterday, there's 23 wildfires going on right now in California. And some of the brethren that are part of our number live in that area. And please pray that they're safe and they're protected. Although we do also pray that they get out of the city, because this is the Lord's will. And if it's the way that he's going to answer some people's prayers, that's an amazing way. Even if their house doesn't burn down, it's pretty obvious that it can. So it might be a time to move and do as the Lord would have them do. But keep them in your prayers. Houses can be replaced. It's no big deal. So, please keep them in your prayers. There's a lot. I mean, with that drought, this is a very long drought, and that's our Father's will. And they always have a fire season, but it's been bad the last 5-6 years. It's just been crazy with the fire. So. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there's some towns out here that are, like one that's about 15 miles from here, that's 3,800 people. That's still a town, though. That's still, you know, country living has really got a lot to say for it, especially when they start enforcing martial law. Because all the towns, all the cities, they're going to have some issues to deal with. A lot of issues, actually. All right. Welcome all the new people, by the way. They're at the... We get some smiley faces down there. And if you're wanting to read along with us in the study, just scroll underneath the chat room, and there's the notes for the study, and then, of course, the notes for the sermon are underneath that. So we're on question number 23, and the question is, God has promised to satisfy our mouths with what? Thank you, Brother Gorin. Psalm 103:5. It says, "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." You know, the word good here can also be translated in Hebrew to mean pleasant things, better things, the best of things, precious things, fine things, fair things, and so on and so on and so on. So let me ask you this. Have you ever seen what a pig eats? Yeah, that's not the best of things. They'll eat anything. And it doesn't matter how smelly it is and how rotten it is, they'll eat it. Oysters and clams, same thing. They're nature's garbage disposals. That's why they were created. They were created to clean up the planet. Just like the lobster or the catfish or any of the other shrimp and all those things that people like to eat. It's amazing how bad it is to eat that stuff. They eat waste. And that's not the good or the pleasant or the better things or the best of things that the Lord has promised. The old saying, you are what you eat, applies just as much to animals as it does to people. If a man eats unhealthy foods, he will eventually become unhealthy. Mankind has a specific diet because the Creator made him to thrive on certain foods. Unclean animals like pigs, oysters, lobsters, catfish, or whatever, they're nothing more than gigantic flies. Like flies, they will eat whatever is rotting in their area, and they gravitate towards that area. That's all they do, is they travel around looking for waste. If you ever walk through a creek, like many of us guys have done when we were young lads and still do every now and then, you'll see crayfish all over the place, or crawdads, depending upon your area. And they scurry around. And yeah, when you see them, something shoot really fast under the water, for those of you that have never done it before, that's a crawdad flying backwards. That's what they do. They whip their little tail and they go backwards really, really fast. I mean, it's crazy fast how it's just... I thought fish were fast, but these little guys can move. But if you happen to be on the edge of the creek and you just walk around and just... or sit there and watch what the crayfish do. I mean, they're picking stuff off the bottom and just... especially if something has died and it's laying there, and they'll just sit there and pick away at it. So, being as such... our God created them to be able to eat those things. Yes, their lifespans are considerably lower than animals in similar types of styles, if you will. But then that's why they multiply more than most. Now, a cow can have 1 to 2 calves. Where a pig can have on average 6. And many times much more than 6 because what they're doing with the drugs today. It's just amazing how many little piglets can come out of a mother nowadays. The fact they are designed to eat rotted things, they do have certain elements and parasites in their bodies to help them digest and even fend off certain toxic elements, not unlike the healthy bacteria in our intestines that are right now breaking down our foods as they travel through our system. We're supposed to have those in there. They are alive. It's just like in your eyelashes. You have little parasites inside your eyelashes. Yeah, I kid you not. When I found that about 20, 30 years ago, I thought, oh, that's weird. I'm not suggesting plucking an eyelash and then putting it underneath a microscope. Just look online, you'll see it. Yeah, they're pretty scary looking. I mean, they look like gigantic aliens underneath a microscope, of course. It's amazing how the Lord created them and the way they look. They look like alien beings, like you would see in some, weird movie or something, like if you used to watch movies in the past. And even the cells inside the human body, some of them that, like the one that rocks up and down, travels up and up and down the DNA. It doesn't have legs, but how does it move around? It just does that. And that's a being. That's alive. It's doing its work. It's got a job to do, and it's going to do it. And then with the chromosomes, when they split, there's this one thing that carries them to one side or the other, and it actually looks like that Keep on Truckin' guy that you ever seen on the bumper stickers back in the 70s. But this thing is only legs. I mean, it's got this huge thing that it's attached to it, and it's got these legs that come out, and they walk up this chain of cellular material, whatever it is, during the chromosome split thing. And because I remember watching a video years ago in regards to... how it looks when a cell splits inside of a human body and what actually goes on. What they did is they, because of supercomputers today, what they were able to do is they put all the data that scientists have compiled over the last 500 years, let's say, into a computer system, and as well as some of the images that they have gotten from microscopes, including the electron microscopes that can get really, really low and deep inside. And they were able to, it was just all just CGI, of course. It was just all graphics, but they made it look as real as possible. And it's amazing how, I mean, we truly are fearfully and wonderfully made, the way the Lord created us. And so there's certain reasons there are things that we shouldn't be eating. And because there's little beings that, well, not beings, but you know what I mean, the cellular structures, and there's certain things in our organs and all that that need nourishment and need this and need that. And if you put something in your body you shouldn't be eating, you know, it might kill it. It might cause it to die off, and then you're going to get sick. And we're all, like Fran and I were just talking about this a little while ago, about we're all different chemical puddles. Like one person can drink a certain health, like a drink that you can make out of, vegetables or fruits and stuff like that. And it'll affect that person in one way, and it'll affect another person in a completely different way because of the way we're all different. So, but if you eat a pig, not only are you being disobedient to your God, because there's nothing in the New Testament that said God changed the way he created us. There's nothing in there. I mean, look at Malachi. It even says that he is the Lord thy God. He changes not. And so, I mean, the covenant changed, but that was because of the sins of mankind. God's end of the covenant, that still never changed. If you keep his law, he's going to bless you with eternal life and bless you with life on earth and abundancy and prosperity and all that good stuff, right? But mankind messed up, of course. Before me and Moses even got off the mountain to bring them the Ten Commandments, they broke all ten of them by then. And so God never, he never changed his end of the bargain. It's just mankind did it. The difference now is we still have to keep the law, but now he's going to help us to keep it. The Holy Spirit in us will actually help us keep his law. And so therefore, defiling the body is being disobedient to God, because, again, there's nothing in the New Testament that says he changed the diet of mankind. There's just nothing. As a matter of fact, for those of us, especially that have been around in the remnant movement for years, you've realized what the Lord has been doing lately with us. We have changed our diets drastically. Some of us, like myself and my wife, and many of our kids, stopped eating meat. Well, actually, all the kids. When we quit eating meat, they quit eating meat. But then when some of them moved out, of course, they went back to eating chicken and stuff. But none of them eat pork, from what I understand, and all the bad things. But we, even before we realized in the Word, we were still Sunday keepers at the time. We quit eating meat because the Lord moved us in that direction. He just opened doors and closed doors and whatnot. And it's nice to hear some of the testimonies of some of the brothers and sisters in the faith here that have also been moved in that direction as well. And we all know why now, because of Jesus is soon to return, and we have to be prepared. We have to straighten our paths and whatnot, but we have to be prepared to meet him. If, in fact, we are that last generation. If not, we are very good examples unto the younger generation that will meet him face-to-face, if they are the generation. But I'm hoping and praying we are the generation that sees him coming, because it's crazy out there. But it's in heaven, there is no meat eating. It's back to the Edenic diet up there. And it's much, much healthier. I mean, we've all seen the videos. We've all seen the documentation. Some of us actually seen the white papers on it, where in regards to if you're sick, go all raw. Change your diet. It will literally make things better for you. it'll heal you too, depending upon how long you continue in that diet. Some people will try it for a week or two or three or four, and a month or two or three or four, and then give up. This is how long did it take you to get sick? This reminds me of when I was doing trichology for my dad, when he had that hair and scalp business back when I was a teenager. And some guys would walk in there and say, how long is it going to take you guys to grow my hair back? Because we would use chemicals to wash out the follicles and heat and electrostatic shocking, actually literally shocking the scalp with electricity and stuff like that. It was guaranteed to work. It was slow going, though. So, like, if it took you 10 years to lose that hair, you can expect it could take anywhere from 8 to 10 years to get it to come back. Because it's going to take a while to get those dormant follicles to come back to life. Well, if you had been eating things that have sickened you for, say, 5-6 years, and you try, like, say, an all-raw diet for 5-6 weeks... and then give up. Why bother then? I mean, you know, seriously. You have to lit. It's not. It when you're sick, like I say, if you're bad sick, it's not God's plan that you just try this or try that. No, you literally change your way of living. Period. You no longer eat certain things for the rest of your life. You just get used to that. You just change the way you are. Because your body, just like every other chemical puddle that walks this planet, has certain issues with certain things. And so, I mean, there's people all over this planet that have completely changed their diets because of health reasons. So, but still, if you eat a pig, not only are you being disobedient and therefore defiling the body, we also place in our bodies certain elements and parasites that our bodies are not designed to digest. With pork, no matter how much you cook it, and I'm not going to share this again because I've done it so many times in here, but there is an easy way to show that no matter how well done you cook a pork chop, even if you cook it to a charcoal briquette, you're not going to kill the worms in it. You can't do it. It's impossible. Unless you actually find every single solitary worm, pull it out, and hit it with a hammer, and you can't do that. They're in the flesh, and then you eat that flesh, and then those worms will not be killed by your stomach acid either, nor will they be killed by the bacteria in your intestines. They're busy doing everything else. Things they can't digest, they ignore. That's why when you're a little kid and you eat a nickel or something... it's going to come out a day or two later. You know, it's not going to get digested, all right? So, those worms are going to be alive in your bodies for as long as it's possible for them to survive in your bodies, and that can be years if they make it to certain areas of the body wherein they can thrive. I know this is a fact because I had to deal with such issues decades ago before I quit eating meat. It literally, and every now and then, like right now, now it's kind of, everything seems okay. I've been working out again, too, lifting weights again, but it doesn't seem that bad. Well, I kind of worked myself up gradually. That's probably why I don't have any pain right now. But a couple of months ago, because what I'm doing now is I'm jamming my left or my right elbow on the inside, sticking my finger in deeply to get it to hurt, and it's not doing it right now. But that's because the muscle has been stiffened up because, like I said, I'm exercising a little more now, not just doing the walking thing. But that elbow is where those worms decided, hey, this is where we're living. Because I ate pork chops, I ate bacon, and I ate pork rinds. And it took a few years for them to die off in there. And it took probably 15, 20 years before the pain was completely gone. I didn't feel it unless I would jab it. Because I'm thinking they ruined some of the muscle fibers or something like that. Because like if I stuck my finger, it just reminded me of the pain that I used to have when I would try to lift a 1 pound weight. I kid you not. And I used to lift weights. And so it was like, wow, I couldn't even, it was all I could do to lift my arm without anything in my hand. So, there's a reason. And that's one of the reasons you don't eat pigs. Right? And then the same thing with like shrimp and stuff. You know that little brown vein that runs down their back? Well, there's sewage in there. People just chow down like it's no big deal. But that's sewage. Literal sewage you're eating. Ever eat a carp? I know most people won't even bother to eat carps. But carp, it has the scales. It is a bottom feeder, though. But there is a way to eat it. I wouldn't think about doing it today, of course, because now, you know, I don't care what animal you're eating. In today's world, it's not going to be healthy. This world is poisoned, head to toe. Everybody's radiated, even us. I mean, they've been blowing up nuclear bombs, quote unquote, to test them, and so we're all pretty well sickened. But there's a vein that runs along the spine, the back end of the spine of a carp. And it's huge. It's about the size of, I'd say, like a thin drinking straw. And it's just packed with sewage. I never knew that was in there until some old guy came up to me and offered me a couple of bucks for some carp I pulled out of the Saganaski Slough. And I says, "You're going to eat that?" And he goes, "Yeah." I says, "Man, you can't eat that. It's a bottom feeder. It's got a sewage. It's got sewage in its body." And he showed me. He filleted it right there, which I didn't appreciate him killing the thing right in front of me, but he filleted it right in half, and he spread it open, and he showed me the vein. And he took two bobby pins, one bobby pin on one end and one bobby pin on the other end, and then he snipped both edges of that vein and picked the whole vein out of the fish using those two bobby pins. He says, "Now you can eat it." I said, "Oh, well, I guess, but I wouldn't." But he said it tasted like whitefish. But still, in today's world, everything's radiated. Then you got the chemtrails. And no, I'm not being a conspiracy theorist. They have admitted they are putting stuff in our atmosphere. I mean, Germany invented it first, but still. It's best to get back to a plant diet, and it would be also wise to actually get your own garden. And this is why the Lord has blessed some of us with land. And if you don't grow your own gardens, you're going to be held accountable, because now, especially now, with the GMO labeling being, it's now legal for them not to tell you that you're eating GMO food. You know, now it's going to be hard to find organic stuff unless you go to a health food store, and then you're going to pay an arm and a leg for it. So, getting back to an Edenic diet is the best way to go. And it also sharpens the mind, too. Makes it easier for you to understand his word. All right, let's go to the next one here, if I can get through it. Oh, this one's kind of huge. Oh, no, it's not. Oh, no. The one after that's huge. Like number 24, about what did Daniel propose in his heart. So anyway, number 20. Oh, no, that is the next one. Wow, I just realized that. Yeah, because there's no way I'm going to get through this one today. Because, this one here is a study all on its own. So, maybe we'll just end a little quicker this way, because I'm preaching anyway. But unless anybody's got any questions in regards to what was just shared, like with the pigs and stuff like that. And if you have recently eaten pork, well, ask away, sister. If you have recently eaten pork, just quit. You know, if you haven't got any of the bad warning signs yet, don't worry about it, because all of a sudden, I even had the ganglions in my wrist. And you know how I used to get rid of ganglions back in the day, you know, the natural doctors before the AMA was invented? They would put your hand down on a table, palm up, put your hand on a table, just rest your hand and your wrist and your arm on a table, and then the doctor would take the Bible. And the reason he would take the Bible is because it's the biggest book most families had. And he would take the Bible, and he would just go whack. He would just whack your wrist, not as hard as he could, but he would whack it hard, and that would splatter the ganglions, which were fatty deposits from eating the pork that would build up in your wrist area. And I had them in both wrists. They're gone now. I never did the Bible thing, but They will dissipate after a while. And but yeah, that's what they would just splat and get rid of them. Okay, so Sister Vera asks, you said the only difference between us and the Old Testament people is that now we get help to keep the law. So the Old Testament people did not get help to keep the law and did not have the Holy Spirit. Yes, for the Holy Spirit wasn't poured out in abundance like the day of Pentecost came in the New Testament. There were certain people that had it. Yes, Jeremiah was born with it. King David had it. He even cried out to the Lord, don't take your spirit from me. And so, but they also had the sanctuary service. And so they were obedient to that effect because of what, you know, happened at Sinai. But still, at the same time, the Lord gave them a pattern to follow after. And so that's a study that I'm actually working on now in regards to the sanctuary service and how, you know, it all deals with salvation. And so how do you know if you have the Holy Spirit? Well, there's a lot of different ways of finding that out, and one of them is not speaking in tongues, because we're not Pentecostal. That's fake. What the Pentecostals do is fake. It's not something that anybody could explain, I don't think. Yeah, it's mostly by their fruits, like Brother Sean just said. But the easiest way for me to answer that is the grieving heart. And what I mean is, every now and then, I'll get an email from somebody that are deathly afraid that they have blasphemed the Holy Ghost, and because that's the unforgivable sin, they're going to hell. And I says, okay, so you love the Lord, right? And I go, yeah. And I says, you're worried about going to hell, yeah. And so you're really, really sad about committing that sin, and you are worried that you have now lost your salvation and all this, and you're going to miss out on heaven and all that, right? Right, right. I said, well, then that kind of like proves you got the Holy Spirit. And what I mean is, if you didn't have the Holy Spirit and you were committing all these sins and you didn't care either way, you really didn't care at all, then it doesn't matter to you. You just... A good way to define the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit is people that knew the truth. And here's where Baptists have a hard time with this, because they believe that once you're saved, you're always saved. But there are dozens, literally dozens of Bible verses that say you can lose your salvation. So there are people out there that have walked with Jesus for a little while, and just like what Jesus said in the parable about the seed thrower, you know, the sower of the seeds, some of it falls on rocky ground. They find the message, they spring up quickly because they go, oh, wow, this is amazing, amazing. They tell everybody they can, and all of a sudden the trials of the earth come in and they just give it up. Then later on in life, as they're getting closer and closer to death, they've done all these sinful things. They know their past. They know they have met Christ. They have tasted of the heavenly gift, it says in the book of Romans. And still, they go to a Christless grave. That's blaspheming the Holy Spirit. We really don't care what scoffers say. If the scoffers want to say that God's unfair, well, that's because they hate him. It's just, and yes, people hate God, and some people say, well, no, I don't hate God. Jesus is my Savior, while they're toking on some marijuana, drinking some beer, or living in sin, or whatever the case may be. I says, no, you actually hate him. They say they don't understand the definition of hate the way God sees it. If you do not allow him to love you and guide you in life and let him be your Lord, then there's no gray areas there. It's either love or hate. You know, there's no gray areas in Christianity. So, yeah, Luke 9:62, those who put their hand to the plow and keep looking bad are not good, are not fit for the kingdom of God. And so Isaiah chapter 4 verse 1 will define a lot of the people out there that claim to be Christians that really aren't. They actually hate Christ. They actually hate him. And we can actually see this with the way the atheists are and the way the homosexuals are. The homosexuals, overwhelmingly, they hate Christ a lot more than atheists do, because he declares what they're doing is sinful. And they don't want to hear that because they think it's love they have for each other, when in fact it's just lust. That's all it is. It's based on fleshly lust. It can't possibly be love. And they'll swear up and down that it is love, but that's not the definition of love. That's not the way it was designed. It's not the way love was created. Because the same God that created all that is seen and unseen also created the concept of love. So, but when it comes to the scoffers, they're going to say he's unfair no matter how well you define the truth to them. It's like I always say, you can bring an atheist to Jesus, but you can't make him think. It's just not going to happen. You know, they're going to scoff no matter what you do. Just they're just going to do it. So, yeah, they had opportunity. I mean, like the Old Testament people had the prophets and stuff like that. And there were people that were blessed with the Holy Spirit. You got, you know, of course the prophets and stuff like that. But it wasn't pouring out abundantly. I will pour my spirit upon all, you know, like it says in the book of Joel. That prophecy came true in the New Testament church where all the believers were blessed with the Holy Spirit. But now here's the thing, and I'm going to be discussing this in a few minutes in the sermon. Just because you have the Holy Spirit, the early rain portion of the Holy Spirit, doesn't mean you're going to make it to heaven in the last days. Because all 10 virgins had lamps. All 10 virgins had oil. So, we'll be talking about that in a minute or two. But yeah, so again, they're going to say, like I said, they're going to say it's unfair no matter what you do. Scoffers are going to scoff. And there's not always an answer to their questions. I mean, there is, but there's never. They have what's called a never-ending question. As soon as you answer their question and prove them wrong, they'll come up with another one. Because the devil in them is very, very intelligent. He knows how to manipulate the word. And he's going to. And this is why it says in the book of Titus, chapter 3, verse 10, give them two chances and then turn around and walk away. Otherwise, you're going to be just spinning your wheels, wasting all your time on that one person. Yeah, amen. Let the Lord deal with them. Amen. Yeah, and look at what Matthias just put in a room, too. They plugged their ears. They hissed at him. They bit him. They hated the words that he spoke. And these were the men of the cloth. Look at the Catholic priests and what they did during the Inquisition. They killed, torturously killed. You know, somebody just, who was it? I saw something on, it wasn't a politician. It was, and it wasn't even Fox News, which shocked me. Yeah, I think it was CNN or something like that. One of these news sources, some reporter was talking about how the way the Muslims are killing people. It's demonic. There's no way that these people are godly. It can't. They are killing people in the exact same way the Roman Catholic Church was killing people. That is demonic. When you take somebody and you slowly cut the head of their child off in front of you, in front of the parents, and then rape the women in front of the husband, and then kill them. That's demonic. I mean, the Catholic Church used to do stuff like that. Well, still does, in dungeons and stuff like that. Well, they're still doing it now through the Muslims, actually, because they wrote the Quran. And so the fruits of Rome are all over the Islamic Church. It's all over it. And they're just flexing because they got to stand next to them guillotines that are already on U.S. soil. They're here for a reason. But don't let... See, a lot of people get all fearful and says, oh, guillotine, scary, scary, yeah, gonna die, oh, no, scary, scary. It's prophesied to happen. He lets you live in today's world. If you can't handle it, you wouldn't have been born. You'd have been born 1,000 years ago. 1 Corinthians 10:13 applies to you back then as well as it does now, whenever you were born. So, they're going to do what they're going to do. And if the Lord allows them to kill you, then you will take a nap. You will die for a little while and resurrect, of course. They can't kill your soul. They really have no power when you think about it. They're all fearful of your God. That's why I did that sermon in that video years ago. They fear our God, and this is why they come at us, and they call us, they call us Islamophobics or homophobics or whatever. When in fact, they're the ones that fear us. And they shouldn't even fear us because it's our God that they actually fear. They fear the people that walk with God, especially the high-ranking politician, because they have read the archives. They have seen God's hand move. They have seen how God has helped his people when they have come to attack them with all their guns blaring and nothing happens. So don't worry about this. Don't worry about any of these tough guys out there and they flex their muscles. Yeah, they might punch you upside the head and break your jaw. Whoop-de-doo. You're still going to go to heaven. No big deal. It's just the flesh. That's all it is. No big deal. Hope and pray you were blessed. I'll be back in a minute.